nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Well, that's what happens to all New York Giants fans if Daniel Jones stays under center for the next year or two. This is Tim's New York Giants Straight Talk, powered by Online Big Blue LLC. Oh, I want to talk about the Giants Daniel Jones press conference. I also like to refer to it as the Deer in Headlights press conference. Wow. I know back when I asked Daniel Jones that question I always want to say the rookie symposium, but it was the Giants town hall. When I asked him the question, you know, how he was going to do better next year and, you know, if he could do better next year. And his response was basically to grab his stomach and rock back and forth. You can go back and watch the video. It's somewhere on the channel, or Zach Attack will find it for me. But now these questions that he's asked about the nature of the business and if the Giants want to select a quarterback in the first round, how he feels about that. And just the look on his face, man, it literally looks like a deer in headlights. I mean, seriously, it does. And we're also going to talk about how the Giants need to say no to Bo. No to one read Bo Nix. We're going to get into that in a minute. But I just want to play the first question that Daniel Jones was asked. And I love it because people always like my thumbnails, or some people do. Some people hate me, so it's all good. But the thumbnail shows Daniel Jones with the deer in headlights, and the deer is saying, do I really look like that? No, you really do. You really do. But let's listen to that. Let's listen to this question because it is freaking awesome.
How would you feel if the Giants used their first round pick on a quarterback, and have they looped you in at all to the possibility that they might do that and, you know, bring in a check?
First of all, they're not going to loop. I had to stop it right there. First of all, they're not going to loop his ass in. Why the fuck would you loop Daniel Jones' ass in? It's not like he's Patrick Mahomes. It's not like he's an Aaron Rodgers at the end of his career, or Brett Favre at the end of his career, or Joe Montana at the end of his career, where they'd be like, hey, we're going to bring this guy in. Why the hell would they even think about doing that to Giants? Oh, because probably of Mara.
For your job.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my focus is what I'm doing here with my rehab. You know, kind of the same thing with Saquon. It's, you know, the nature of our business. It's a competitive league.
For him to compare himself to Saquon in reference to Saquon injury and what he means to this team in reference to Saquon, that was just befuddling to me. Really, Daniel? You think you were on that level? You know, we didn't really miss you. We won more games without you, but that's okay. That's okay. There are no stupid questions, only stupid people.
So, you know, the best way to handle that, I think, is to focus on what I'm doing, focus on myself and making sure that I'm, you know, one, healthy, and then ready to play good football. So
I'm going to focus on myself, not going to focus on the team, not going to focus at the task at hand. I'm going to focus on myself.
You know, that's what I can control. That's what I can do to help myself.
Just get this guy out of here. I'm sorry, I had to restart them. Just get this guy out of here, please. We have the $1.97 for the Isaac Yiannon bus ticket, which we raised. I am willing to I'm willing to donate that to the Daniel Jones Fund to get him the hell out of here. Because I'm just tired of it. I'm just done with it. I don't want to see it anymore. I don't want to be part of it anymore. It's garbage in, garbage out every day. And you always feel bad for a player that got hurt. You always feel bad for a player, you know, about what's going on. You always have those situations. But the problem is this. It's time just to move on. It's time just to go away. It's time, don't go away, man. Just go away. Please. And this prospect that the Giants are going to trade back up into the lower half of the upper half of the second round to grab someone like Bo Nix. I still think Bo Nix is going to go to the Broncos in the first round. I don't think Bo Nix is the guy that should even go that high. And I love it because I always like to give, I like to do my little synopsis on players and people always laugh and cause they say, well, you wanted Malik Willis and you got that wrong. You know what?
Malik Willis. Bring him the
boom! First of all, that is like one of the greatest sound effects ever. Second of all, it takes a ballsy man to go out there and tell you what he thinks every time and never back down from it and never change his opinion. My opinions change off of facts. And the facts are, for every time everyone wants to talk about Malik Willis, nobody wants to talk about that I was right about Kenny Pickett. Nobody wants to talk about I was right about Dwayne Haskins. Nobody wants to talk about I was right about Josh Rosen. Nobody wants to talk about I was right about Jalen. About Jalen Hurts. Nobody wants to talk about those things, but they'll just talk about Malik Willis because they think that hurts me. They think that wounds me. They think it cuts me into a quick. Yeah. You're fools. But no to Bo. And there's just so many red flags when you look at Bo Nix. There's so many things that you want to see in reference to measurables that you're just kind of like, Bo is just not the guy. Bo is just, you look at him and you want him to be the guy. You want him because he's athletic. He has an arm. He has mobility, 6'2", 215 pounds. You would like him a little taller. I always like my quarterback around 6'4", but that's okay. We're not going to get into that. He's a guy that he showed some serious improvement in regards to his pocket awareness and processing skills and his pocket presence, but his processing skills are still very slow to come about. And that's this has been going on for years. This is going back to Auburn. That's the issue. That's what you get concerned about. But then you look at the fact that he's got a nice, quick, compact release. He's got a little bit. He doesn't have the biggest arm in this draft, but he's still got. Oh, you know, we've said it before.
He can make all the throws on Sunday.
He has that ability. He showed a little bit of versatility. He's a little Mahomian in the fact that he alters his arm angles to throw around defenders, throw over defenders. He can change his velocity. Well, he's got a little touch. He's got some. I think his footwork is. I think his footwork is better than average, and I think he has the ability to sidestep the pressure, to step up at the climb ladder like we always talk about. And I think he gets a lot away. I think he gets a lot of out of his athleticism, and I think he gets away from not having the premier skills in reference to certain qualities of a quarterback. And he overcompensates a little bit with his athleticism to help alleviate those other issues that he's having. Now, he has shown growth in the years, but the problem is if we want to start at the top, he gets a little he gets a little Daniel Jones-esque under pressure. He gets a little jittery. He gets a little happy feet. His throws become more erratic when you get in his face. You have quarterbacks like the Duck, Justin Herbert, who actually in that rookie season actually had a higher completion percentage and passing percentage under duress. Yeah, that's not going to be with Bo. That's going to be an issue. There's also going to be the complexity of the NFL offense. He's going to have to figure that out. He's going to have to work through that. And once again, like I said, it's going to be the processing of the play. So many times they basically made Bo Nix a one-read quarterback at Oregon. He's one of those guys that you don't need Western Union. Well, I should rephrase that. You don't need the Pony Express. You don't need FedEx because you got Western Union because he likes to telegraph his primary reads. And he hesitates. He who hesitates, we know the rest of that. He misses opportunities on big plays for wide receivers deep because he's always following the one read game plan. Who does this sound like? Who does it sound like? I don't know. He's one of those guys also that has a tendency to force plays. And that's not what you want. You don't want to see your quarterback force the ball in there, especially when you have the likes of Bo Nix. And you just have to think to yourself, are we reaching the point that they like Bo Nix because it reminds them of Daniel Jones? That's always my first question. Do they like Bo Nix because it reminds them of Daniel Jones? And like I said, it's going to be the ability to process plays, which will be his downfall. And he played in a little bit of a gimmicky offense at Oregon. You want to talk about a guy that's a systems guy? We always talk about quarterbacks or wide receivers or running backs. You know, you go back to the old days in Denver with Shanahan, where he always just churned out 1,000-yard running backs, no matter who it was. He'd grab a guy off the street and say, here, go run. And he would get 900 to 1,000 yards. That's kind of what he is at Oregon. He's a systems guy. Now, if you take him out of the system, what is he going to do? Is he going to have the ability to do what needs to be done? Is he going to have the ability and the processing skills to get through? He ran an offense with basically tons of screens. If you want to look at his deep ball, it was an extremely simple vertical offense. A lot of RPOs. And for as much as we just talked about briefly, his footwork, he is not consistent dropping back. And when you're not consistent dropping back, that's where issues are going to happen. Some people say he's a quick game operator. He has that ability to get the ball out quickly with accuracy. Yes, because it's designed that way. How many times do we talk about Daniel Jones in that first season under Pat Shurmur? Very simple offense. Pat Shurmur cut the field in half, gave him a first read, gave him another read, gave him a deep option, told him to throw a spot. The other option was to run. And that works for a period of time. But at the end of, once the defenses start getting film and figuring out, you go downhill. I said it during the Daniel Jones season after that big Tampa game. He is going to regress for a couple weeks. And we watched a steady regression. And I said, then he's going to slope back up. And that's exactly what happened. Bo Nix is just one of these guys who, when his first read is missing, is gone, is taken away from him, that's when shit goes wrong. And people say, well, Timmy threw for 4,000 or 500 yards, 45 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Yeah, Dwayne Haskins threw for 50 touchdowns. And it was funny, though, because when I said that I didn't like Dwayne Haskins, I got so much crap for it. Because I said he was a lollipop thrower, which basically meant, from when I remember back in my day, lollipop thrower means you throw it like over the top of a lollipop and with this high arcing type throw. That is not going to work in the NFL. And I'm just thinking that Bo Nix to me is a very incomplete player who has physical assets and athleticism who you are going to have to make into a quarterback. So don't do it, Giants. Say no to Bo. Not Bo Jackson, but just say no to Bo. We're going to have some live streams coming up. It's going to have a lot of fun. Make sure you stay tuned for those Nick videos as well. And as always, don't forget to like, don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to ring that bell because you want to know why. That'd be awesome.